To God today. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All over the United States and all over the world where Christians are coming together, there's a celebration today, Palm Sunday. It's an important day. It's the beginning of Holy Week. It culminates with the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but in between his so-called triumphal entry into Jerusalem, that I read about right here. In the interim, a lot of events are going to occur. People were ecstatic. They heard about a man who had opened the eyes of the blind, who had raised the dead. They were convinced he was that promised one that would lead them out from the bondage. They thought that he would literally come with the power of God to overcome Roman rule and occupation. They were looking for freedom from political tyranny more than they were looking for the salvation that God was going to bring. And they were happy. They were praising. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And when they saw him, helpless, beaten, bloodied, and finally impaled upon a cross, their hopes were dashed because they did not understand God's ways. They were looking, and they still are to a large degree. The Jewish community is looking for the Messiah to come and deliver them. And they don't understand, except Messianic Jews understand, that he was the Messiah. He did come. But he didn't come to take them immediately out from under Roman rule, but to take them out of the tyranny of Satan and sin. They didn't get that until after the crucifixion and the resurrection, and then only a few of them got it. But that began the gospel. So all of this cheering and all of this jubilation was going to turn many that cheered him on that day, jeered him on the cross. Many that cheered him and applauded him, at least some of them. They said, give us Barabbas when given the choice. All of that jubilation and joy turned to accusation against Jesus himself. If thou be the Son of God, come down. Are you glad today that he did not come down? That their jeers did not bring him down from the cross? And it wasn't just them. We're trying to vilify. Listen, they will stand and account to God for what they did to Jesus, but it was appointed to him. It was appointed. He came to this earth for that purpose, and Jesus knew what his disciples didn't know. Jesus knew when he rode in on that donkey during all of that celebration, he knew exactly where he was headed. He was headed to the place of the skull. He was headed to the cross. He knew it. So he knew all of this is going to fade, and I'm going to face the cross without the cheers and prayers and support of all these people. I'm going to face the cross as a man abandoned, not only by his friends, by all of these people that were cheering him. I'm going to face the cross, and even my Father, when I take the punishment for man's sin, even my Father cannot comfort me. How do you know God didn't comfort him? Because of his cry from the cross, his own lips. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. It's being interpreted as my God, my God. Why hast thou forsaken me? In Pilate's hall, he had no such cry. I mean, they had forsaken him, but you know what he said? My Father is always with me. Peter's not here anymore. James is not here. John is not here, but my Father's always with me. But when he was impaled on that cross, he was bearing something that God couldn't comfort him. As the human part of him couldn't be comforted by the Spirit and presence of God. He died on the cross as a sinner lost and abandoned of God. There's no comfort for him. If they nailed me to a cross today, I have the promise of God's presence and grace. Jesus didn't have what is offered to me. And what he was doing on that cross is enough to give us reason to praise every day of our life and throughout all eternity. I don't believe the praises will lessen after 10,000 years. Because I don't believe we will fully realize down here just what that death means to us until we are there in his presence and we fully appreciate eternal things. Number one, I don't believe you can appreciate grace until you understand judgment. I don't believe anyone in this room can appreciate mercy until you understand wrath. I don't even believe you can appreciate heaven until you understand the alternative, where you would be. Amen. Some things you won't hear about on this. This is going to be waving the palms and celebrating Jesus and crying Hosanna. But this day, Jesus knew this begins. It begins now. What I came to this earth to accomplish begins now. So for Jesus, he knew, number one, he knew when Peter said, they might deny you, but I won't. What did Jesus know? What did he know about that statement? He knew a lot more than Peter knew, didn't he? Amen. He said, before the cock crows in the morning, you'll deny me three times. And it happened, just like Jesus said. So Jesus wasn't overly impressed by Peter's statement. By the way, aren't you glad Jesus redeemed him and restored him and sent him? Hallelujah. That God was able through grace and mercy to undo what man's foolishness and folly had got him into. What a gracious God that we serve. Jesus knew, amen, why he came to this earth. Jesus knew. That's why when the wise men, the magi, when they came, way after the shepherds came, it was a long time after, months after the shepherds, because when they came, they were killing every baby that was 1 year or under to make sure they got that baby that was prophesied to try to get him. Amen. But when they came, they brought him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold is a gift for a king. Frankincense for a prince. Someone of that standing. But myrrh? Myrrh? You know what that would be like? Having a baby shower for a brand new mother that's so overjoyed. And bringing her a gift certificate for a casket. For that baby. That you can redeem. That you know you can buy at Costco? You can buy a coffin to be buried in. Not they don't have them in the store because it takes away from the joy of shopping. But when people think about that, honestly, online, you can go to Costco and there's an area where they'll show you caskets and you can order one from Costco and you don't have to pay the funeral home the kind of bigger price necessarily. So if you want to go to Costco and get a casket, you can. If you want to give a gift certificate to someone for a casket from Costco, you can go pay for it. However, that is not appropriate for a baby shower. So what was so striking was when this one of the three magi offered him the gift of myrrh. And that's exactly what was happening after the cross on resurrection morning. They had kept that myrrh and they were taking. A myrrh was for putting on a body before it was wrapped up. It was just one of the traditions of the myrrh, and you put it on the body and wrap it up and put it in the tomb. Actually, the body stayed in the tomb until it deteriorated and became bone, and then the bones were taken out and put in a little bone jar and buried. And the tomb was used again and again and again. Myrrh. Jesus knew. And the message, the wise men knew. This baby is going to be a king. Give him gold. He's going to be a prince of princes, king of kings, lord of lords. Give him frankincense. It's appropriate. But this king also is born to die a death. Give him myrrh. So when Jesus entered Jerusalem, he knew I'm headed for the cross. What I came to this earth to accomplish is beginning right here, right now. The crowd didn't know. The apostles didn't know. His mother didn't know. But he knew. He knew. He knew. And what he came to do. I preached a message one time, and there was a lady who'd been in church longer. I mean, she was about 80 years old. She'd been in church her whole life. I was 27 when I came to Tampa to pastor. Somewhere I was probably about 30 years old when I preached a message called Standing in Your Standing. And I started talking about our standing, what Jesus had done on Calvary, and how God saw us. Amen. Where we stand in the foot of the cross. When we stand at the foot of a cross, we have a standing with God that nothing but the blood of Jesus could give us. Amen. And we need as Christians to understand that and then stand in our standing. Having done all, do what? Stand. Praise God. Hallelujah. And she called me, and I rarely hear compliments on sermons too often. I hear if I miss a word or misspell something or whatever, but rarely do people tell me that blessed me. Occasionally it happens. When it does, I treasure it. I put it in a little box. I lock it up. I put it on a shelf somewhere. And one of my bad days, I pull down. Oh, yes, I do have them too. And I pull it down and open it up and say, thank you. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you for recognizing that I'm a gift to you, and God does give me something to bless you with. Can you say amen? And if it does bless you, I like to hear it. Because sometimes, listen, man looks on the outward appearance. Only God knows what's in your heart. Can you say amen? And what's happening? And sometimes I look on the outward appearance, and I don't know if you're getting it or not. I don't know if it's helping you or not. I don't know if it's blessing you or not. In fact, some outward appearances would say, so I'm not trying to chum you up. I'm just telling you, your preacher, any preacher, needs to know. They need to know. They need to know. And she said, Brother Venable, I've been in church all these years. I've been a Christian all my life. And I've always been trying to reach some place in God of worthiness and a place that I could stand on the word and claim the promises, but I couldn't quite ever seem to reach that place. But she said, when I heard that message on standing in your standing, she said, I'm already there. And I didn't even realize it. See, growing in the Lord is not how long you've been on the road. It's how far you've traveled. So spiritual growth is not just time based. It's how you receive the word of God, how you react and respond to it. Can you say amen? Amen. And the Bible said if it ever gets into good ground, a heart that's prepared to receive it, it in and of itself will bring forth fruit. Some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. There's all kinds of ways to deliver it. How many know different preachers have different mannerisms and they bring a different something to it? But it's the word, not the personality of the preacher. It's the word of God, not even the anointing on the preacher. It is the word of God that has life in it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, here's what Jesus was headed to the cross to do. Here's something you won't hear that you should hear, because you can't appreciate this day and that day coming, Resurrection Sunday, unless you understand and appreciate the fact that Jesus taking our place had to do with him letting the wrath of God be burned out in him instead of us. Burned out in him instead of us. This day is about the wrath of God. If Jesus hadn't satisfied, propitiated is the word used in the new covenant. Propitiate means to appease somebody that is angry enough to hurt and harm you. know what the Bible said about every sinner? I'm talking about the Bible. I'm not talking about what's cool today, what's kosher. I'm talking about what the Bible said. I'm a Bible believer. I'm a Bible teacher. I don't go with the trends and the flow. I've seen them come and go. I've preached long enough to see trends come and go. I've seen people stand and fall. I've seen preachers stand and fall. My anchor is the Word of God. Amen? It's going to, you know, heaven's going to pass away. Earth is going to pass away. Newsflash, you're going to pass away. But thy word shall abide forever. Hallelujah. The Bible said, thy word, O Lord, is forever established in heaven. And the Bible said that he's exalted his word above his name. And he's exalted as a name above every name that's named. But what gives his name that place is the integrity of his word. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Woo! You want to read a psalm about the word of God? Read Psalm 119. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my pathway. And it just goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on. And it's all about the Word of God. The Bible said the Word of God is like the snow that comes out of heaven and the rain that watereth the earth. Cause and effect. Say cause and effect. And causes it to bring forth into bud. So shall the words be that go forth out of my mouth, saith the Lord. It will accomplish that I desire and prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Hallelujah. Amen. Psalm 107 and 20 said he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all of their destructions. How shall they believe upon him of whom they have never heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall he go except he be sent? Can you say amen? Who shall go for us? Whom shall I send? Here am I, Lord. Send me. Hallelujah. Amen. You know what apostle means? Sent one. Sent one. A sent one. Hallelujah. Woo! You know what I am as an under shepherd? I've been sent. Praise God. Some got up and went, but I was sent. There's a difference. Can you say amen when the Lord sends you? Praise God. I told Pamela, I said, Pamela, we're on our way today. Amen. To stand where God has stationed us. I don't know who's going to come and who ain't going to be here, but I know where I'm going to be in the place God sent me and stationed me. Praise God. Well, if God sent you, look like this place would be full and running over. Oh, you got that wrong. God sent Jesus. And at one point, there was only 12 left. After one sermon, Jesus said, if you don't eat of my body, drink of my blood, you have no part with me. They didn't get the spiritual part. They just, their eyes all crossed up, rolled over, and they took off. Jesus turned to his 12 and he wasn't even convinced they were going to hang with him anymore. And he said, will you leave me too? And they said, Lord, where can I go? Well, now you got all the kind of options in the world. You can have it your way. Church world's like Burger King. Amen. You can have it your way. Amen. You can actually have it your way. If you want liberalism, there's a church for you out there. In fact, if you want to worship Satan, the first church of Satan is meeting this morning with the same religious privileges and protections and tax write-offs. You can write a check to Anton LaVey's First Church of Satan, and it's just as you can write it off as a charitable gift, because that's where America has come. You can have any kind of church you want. You can have a church that preaches the truth or one that tells you what you want to hear. And the Bible said that men, the time will come, and I believe we're right dead in the middle of it. When men will not endure what? Sound doctrine. But heap to themselves teachers. Doesn't mean religion is going to go away. People are going to have a watered down, polluted, perverted version of it that doesn't save, that accommodates all kinds of sin. In the name of tolerance and love. Jesus went to the cross because the wrath of God was burning against sinful man. That's why God sent him. He said, if there's not a way for me to save these souls, there's only one alternative. So wrath is part of this week. What is going to make me want to jump and shout? We better get these floors unslippery. Because if I take off, I do not want to fall on that floor. Amen? By Resurrection Sunday. You know what makes me praise God when other people frown at me and some people don't show up and they don't know what? I praise God because Jesus took my place. He took my punishment. He let the wrath of God be burned out in him so it wouldn't be burned out in me. Can you say amen? Amen. Caesar will stand an account. Amen. For turning him over for political reasons. But Caesar didn't put him on that cross. Rome didn't put him on that cross with all of their political clout and authority. Can you say amen? The governor didn't put him. Pilate didn't put him on that cross. Those soldiers didn't keep him on that cross. He came here destined for that cross. And he told them the Son of Man must be handed over to them. And they looked at him, and the first thing out of Peter's mouth was, Lord, think of yourself. Be it far from thee. Literally in the Greek, he said, think of yourself. I'm so glad Jesus didn't think about himself. I love that song that said when he was on the cross, we were on his mind. Can you say amen? I love to stand in my standing. Praise God. I believe we're going to shout before we go home. But right now we need to understand what he came to accomplish and what he accomplished. When he said it is finished, it meant that the not just the sin debt was paid. The wrath of God against sin, amen, burned out in him. And until he suffered enough for the wrath of God, the accumulated wrath of God to burn out in him concerning those who would trust him. Until that happened, it wasn't accomplished. But when it happened, he said, tetelestai. Tetelestai. One word that meant paid in full. It is accomplished. It is finished. God's wrath against we sinners has been burned up into him. He was wounded, our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was laid on him. Can you say amen? All we like sheep have gone astray. What did God do? He counted him as all of us sinners and judged him in our place so that we could be forgiven. Now, if you think this is going to give you some license to sin, you're very wrong. How shall we escape what? That wrath that's justifiably against us as sinners if we neglect such a great salvation as this. Can you say amen? That's why the tribulation is coming. That's why the judgment of God is going to fall. That's why, amen, the wrath of God is going to be poured out. The accumulated wrath of God. The Bible describes it this way. When the cup of his indignation is full. He said he's going to pour it out. It's called the day of the Lord. It's called the great tribulation. First 3.5 years is a different kind of judgment. First 3.5 years, the world is going to think that they've finally fulfilled the John Lennon song. Imagine. There's no heaven above, no hell beneath, no religion. We could all just live in harmony. There's a man coming that the world will hug. The world is primed to receive him. That's why I believe he's alive today. 30 years ago in the United Nations. The day of the Lord hasteneth greatly, and it burneth as an oven. But I've made a provision for you, my children. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. For you have not been appointed to wrath, but to obtain salvation.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. If that don't make you want to shout, I don't know what does. Who am I? Who are you that a king would bleed and die for? Who are you? Who am I that he would say, not my will, but thine for? We think that Jesus thought about the pain, because that's how we think. That in the garden, when he was sweating those great drops of blood, what he dreaded was the pain of the punishment. When in fact, the Bible said it was the shame. It was the shame, not the pain. The pain was hideous beyond any words that we could use to describe it. That he went through, he was tortured to death. But I want you to know it wasn't just the pain. When he said, let this cup pass from me, the holiest one of all was going to be treated as if he was the most sinful in our midst. That's why Isaiah 53 starts with, amen, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? When we saw him, there was nothing that we should desire him. Amen. He was repulsive to look at in the condition that the beating and the flogging had left him before they even nailed him to the cross. But we did esteem him, what? Smitten, stricken of God, and afflicted. But surely he bore our griefs. He carried our sorrows. Wounded for our transgressions. Bruised for our iniquities. That means the wrath of God. That justifiable anger of God. Not this temper tantrum. This justifiable anger of God. Against sin. And therefore against sinners. You know what the Bible said? God wants everybody saved. But he's still holy and obligated by his holiness to judge sin. And everyone that doesn't believe this morning, today in the 21st century, the wrath of God abides 24/7 upon them. Come on, church. This is not getting people in the building. Amen. This is plucking firebrands out of the fire. Vessels of wrath. Fit for what? Destruction. The wrath of God is real. Amen. It's part of his holy character. He can't be holy and not judge sin. Amen. So how's he going to save man whom he loves and not violate his own holiness? He sends a Savior that would do what? Take the punishment. Take the punishment. And let God's wrath. In fact, there's a scripture that sounds so awful. It said, and it pleased the Lord to bruise him. And the word bruise here is a strong word, because it doesn't mean to leave a blue mark. I don't know if you know this, but as you age, you bruise easier. I didn't know you were that old, but you're wagging your head anyway. You didn't have to say yes, but as you age, it's different. I used to fall and knock myself silly and get up in a little red mark, and then that went away in 2 days. Now I hit something with my leg, and I look down, there's this big brown, black and blue thing. I'm saying, what in the world is that? Amen. Week later, it's still there. And after a while, it finally, you forget about it, it goes away. We're not talking about those kind of bruises. Please the Lord to bruise him literally means to crush him. 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 One of the saddest true stories I've ever heard, and it can no way come close to what was happening there, but maybe we can get a little handle on it, is the man who, I remember when you go downtown Tampa and some of those bridges down there, there was a man that operated that sat in that little house, and when a boat was coming, he would open it up for the boat, and when the boat was down, he would close it and the cars could go over. There were trestles, train trestles where they crossed rivers, and when boats came, that it needed to be opened. There was a man who would open that. And then as soon as the boat was by, he hit the button. It came back down so trains could come. He had a schedule of trains right in that office. So he was made aware and tried to coordinate everything. One day he took his 10-year-old son to work with him. They had a wonderful day so far. He looked at his schedule, and his boy had always wanted to see that big trestle come up and come back down to let that train cross over the water. And on this particular day, while his dad was eating lunch, the boy wandered outside and went down and was looking into the works, the big cranks, the big toothed wheels that work together to raise this up. And the daddy, supposed to be a true story, the daddy heard a train whistle. He looked at his schedule. It was not on his schedule. Or it was ahead of schedule. He knew, I've got to lower this bridge now. The train is coming. He had just raised it for a boat. The boy was so, and he had got into where the works were. And his dad looked for his son, and he looked out of that little building, and he saw him way down beneath on the other side looking at those big wheels. He screamed to the top of his lungs, but the boy didn't hear him. The train is now hastening and approaching. And the dad was faced with the worst decision any parent could ever be faced with. Let that train, with all those passengers, unknowing that their fate, just go off into that and kill everybody on it. Or lower that bridge and let the train pass over and crush his son. There could be 150 people on this passenger train. They don't know what's occurring. They don't have a clue. They're going about their daily business, just like the world about us this Holy Week, and a lot of Christians with them. Just going about our business. It's a given. Christ died for me. I know all that. Now, what can I do to have fun this week? I'm not telling you to fast and pray all week. I'm telling you to appreciate God. To love Him, to remember Him, to honor Him, to give Him your choice praises, not the leftovers of your life, and to set it as a pattern for this whole year, not just this resurrection Easter season. The dad was in the dilemma. Finally, he realized, it's my son's life or all of these people. By the way, probably there was no one on that train except another child. As innocent as that 10-year-old boy. Amen? No one deserved to live more than that boy that was going to be crushed. And the dad realized, I got to pull it now or it'll be too late. He closed his eyes. See, if you wonder why Jesus said, why hast thou? He didn't forsake him in love and heart. But God had to turn his head. You would turn yours. This man closed his eyes and he pulled the crank. And he knew what would happen to his son. There's no way he could get out of the machinery before it crushed him. And his son was crushed when the bridge came down and locked. And he looked up just in time, not to see his son, but to see a train full of people. It was a morning train. They were serving breakfast in the breakfast car, and men were smoking cigars, and they were having their breakfast and reading newspapers. They were oblivious to the cost of their salvation, to how near they were to destruction, and the awesome price that had been paid for their deliverance. Amen. And yet there is a man in that bridge keeper's little house who knows just how much it cost for them to cross in safety. And unless somebody tells them, Amen. What happened? They can't appreciate. You know what? They're going to complain about the weather. They're going to complain about the food. But if they knew what it costs to get them across that river, they would have said, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. And they would have, don't you think they would have thanked that daddy for crushing his son so that they could safely go to the other side, knowing the price that he paid? Oh, honey, we need to thank the Father for giving us his son. And maybe you'll understand why Jesus cried, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My God, he didn't forsake him in the sense of not loving him and fully abandoning him, but he closed his eyes. The earth closed its eyes for 3 hours. It became dark in the middle of the day at noon. The sun went out. It's a darkness that is so scary. Men at the foot of the cross, hardened soldiers, shook and said, surely this was the Son of God. Can you say amen? This is no ordinary man. This is no ordinary crucifixion. This is different. Can you say amen? When judgment came, in the Old Testament, darkness would fall. It was symbolic of God's judgment, and God was judging our sin in him. So darkness came as he took the wrath. Everybody say the wrath of God. Romans 1:18 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. Isaiah 26:21 says, behold, the Lord is coming out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. And the earth will disclose the blood shed on it and no more cover its slain. That's a terrifying thought. Abortion alone is killing millions of innocent. There's a day coming called the day of the Lord, and it'll burn like an oven. Can you say amen? And the earth will disclose the blood that it shed. An answer to a holy God. That's why we need salvation. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Psalm 75:8 says, for in the hand of the Lord there is a cup with foaming wine, well mixed, and he pours out from it, and all the wicked of the earth shall drain it down to the dregs. In the book of Revelation, the Bible said a day is coming when people don't want to drink the cup of his judgment. And they will seek death. My Bible said they will go to rocks and mountains. Great men, mighty men will go to rocks and mountains and say, fall upon us. Cover us. Hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. The Jesus that has been rejected, that offered salvation and paid the price for it, is now come to be the judge that they will dread. Amen? We're kind of presenting the gospel to the lost like, you know, you could have a better life, you could have a bigger house, a bigger car if you just come to Christ. No, you could escape the wrath of God. You need Jesus more than you need the house and the car and the help of God in this world. You need Jesus as your Savior. God will have to judge you in his holiness. But Jesus took that for you if you will only come to him. I'm glad I'm saved today. Amen. Sometimes I come to church and I pray that everybody will get on the same page and worship God, but that never happens. Somebody always brings their burden in. Somebody always brings this in or brings that in. It weighs on them through the service. Amen. I want you to come in with Jesus on your mind sometime. I want you to come in and say the cross is transcendent of that old boss. The cross is transcendent of this setback in my life. The cross transcends it. I will offer him my praises. Hallelujah. I will stand in my standing and praise my God for what he's done for me. Hallelujah. Don't you think if one person on that train realized the cost of their salvation, literally, amen, that they'd quit complaining about that egg not being quite the way they like it? Can you say amen? Don't you think what just happened in their behalf would make them appreciate somebody that would give their only begotten son? Can you say amen? Oh, I don't want to chase people to get them in church. I want them to want to be here, want to worship God, want to honor God. Somebody with a heart for God. Somebody that God can bless, God can keep, God can use. Can you say amen? I'd rather shut the door than beg and plead for Christians to serve God. Amen. Why don't you go after this one? Go after that one. Because God don't have their heart. I pray they get on their back so they can look up. I pray their idols will be taken from them. I pray they can't sleep, they can't eat, they can't enjoy their sin. They don't need coddling, they need challenging. They're in jeopardy and they misrepresent His kingdom. My God deserves my best, not my leftovers after what He's done for me. That's why the Isaiah 53 said, therefore I will appoint Him a portion with the great. I will put Him in that place. No one else can take that place. The one that dies for me. The one that lets the wrath of God burn out in Him. Revelation 19, 11 through 21. Listen carefully. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and one sitting on it that is called Faithful and True. I mean, no, that's Jesus. Amen. And in righteousness, He judges. Isn't that incredible? And makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire. Have you heard that before? When the book of Revelation opens, John said, I heard a voice like the sound of many waters, Niagara Falls. Everybody say Niagara Falls. He said, I turned to see this voice that spake unto me. First thing he noticed was he's got hair like wool. Amen. That's what judges still wear. Amen. When they come to court in England, it has long been a symbol of judgment and judging. Amen. His eyes are as a flame of fire. Everybody say a flame of fire. Don't think of, and this is true. There's nothing hid from the eyes of Him that we have to do. But this is not about X-ray vision looking into your heart like Superman has. Eyes of fire means indignation. It means righteous anger. He's come to judge the world this time. He's not come to save it. And that's why the Bible said they fought, asked for the rocks to cover them from what? The face of Him who sits on the throne. And who else? And the wrath of the Lamb. Who is the Lamb? It's Christ. A Christ rejected that is now the judge of the very ones who rejected Him. How shall we escape that judgment if we neglect such a great salvation as this? Can you say amen? Listen to me, Carol. I'm so glad. I'm so glad to be where I stand today. I wouldn't want to be in anybody's shoes but mine, because I know where I stand. Hallelujah. I have not been appointed to wrath. I've been appointed to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ. And I know why I'm saved. Because God loved me enough to crush His Son. Everybody say, to crush His Son. And Jesus loved me enough to allow it to happen. To stay on that cross. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on His head are many diadems. He has a name written that no one knows but Himself. He's clothed in a robe dipped in blood. And the name by which He is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, was following Him on white horses. From His mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. And He will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. That's why when he comes for his own, we're going to rejoice. But when he comes, when every eye will behold him, it said the whole world will what? They will mourn because of him, because they'll know this is the one I rejected. He's now come not to save me. He's coming to judge. And he's going to rule this earth, because when they see Jesus, they're just going to all melt. Their hearts are going to... No, he's going to rule it with a rod of iron. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? If you're thinking the doe-eyed Jesus that rode on that donkey into Jerusalem that they put on the cross is the one coming again, you got it all mixed up and messed up. Can you say amen? He's coming on a white horse. There's a name written on his thigh, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the Bible said when he comes, the whole world shall see him. Did you know where there's the capability, even if he doesn't do it like a comet in the sky circling the globe, do you realize that through CNN and the news agencies, that by satellite right now, what is happening today in Jerusalem can be broadcast to every nation on this planet? Amen. And the world will what? They will mourn because of him. So this is about the wrath of God and that wrath being satisfied in Jesus Christ. I don't need all those scriptures. It would take me two more days. Maybe we'll have a Bible study sometime and just go into all of it. Hallelujah. Some people have expressed a desire for that. I would say if you ever have a real desire that brings you to this place, I'll be here with bells on. Because I'm a sent one. Can you say amen? 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 I just don't teach empty chairs. I do not preach to empty pews. I preach and teach people with hungry hearts. That's why God has sent us to the nations of the world. Somebody out there wants to hear it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Somebody wants to hear it. Let me finish with two scriptures. You can't appreciate what's about to happen next Sunday, what we're celebrating, unless you understand what you've been saved from and what Jesus did to save you. And what God felt while it was happening. The earth became dark. Jesus cried, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. Just like the man who pulled the crank to lower the bridge. But he couldn't stand to look upon the suffering of his son. And God couldn't stand to look upon the sin that he took upon himself. He that knew no sin became sin. He didn't sin. But he was counted as a sinner that we might be made what? Some old sinner saved by grace, still under Satan's sway. No, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Can you say amen? He became poor that we might become rich. And there are those people just see dollar signs. They are so earthbound, earthly, sensual. I'm going to go ahead and say it, having not the Spirit. Because if they had the Holy Spirit, he would be pointing them to the cross and say, that's why you're rich. Don't compare your house, your car, your bank account with somebody in this old fallen world. Amen. When you hear, he became poor that you might become rich, count yourself as so rich that he would take your place, that you could go free. I'm in a room with rich people today. I'm in a room with regal people today. Children of the Most High God. Children of the King. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Did we read from Revelation? Got one more scripture. We were in Revelation 19, I believe. Hallelujah. Oh, let me go back to Revelation 6. Let's go back to Revelation 6. Let's begin reading where God begins speaking, or really John begins speaking. Verse 12 of Revelation 6. Listen carefully as we close. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, lo, there was a great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair. The moon became as blood. The stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. 1 Peter, 2 Peter talks about this. The elements being on fire with fervent heat. Amen. Listen. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it's rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. The kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits upon the throne and the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come. It's finally come. Been a long time coming. But it's come. And who shall be able to stand? No one. No one outside the kingdom of God could possibly stand up under his righteous indignation. Because we've all sinned. Every last one of us. And come short of the glory of God. But God had done what? How did he face that puzzling issue to be a holy God and judge sin and yet save sinners? He sent Jesus to let the wrath of God burn out in him so that the wrath of God is satisfied. The Bible said, as far as those who trust Christ, he's propitiated us. Propitiation is a word that means somebody's mad. They want to hurt you. And someone says, please don't. Don't do that. Don't do that. Ah, and that person said, hurt me. Go ahead, hurt me. But let them alone. There's one God and one mediator. Come on. Between God and man. And that's Jesus Christ. What does he mediate? He mediates his blood for our sin in the presence of God. I suggest you get on your shouting shoe. Because pouting just won't do. In the presence of what God has done for you. I suggest if you were on the train where the guy crushed his son to get you across. And you find out about it. Don't complain about them eggs. They may be a little runny. Sop it up with your toast. And eat them anyway and say thank you Jesus. Can you say man? I suggest you don't complain about the service. I'm not talking about the church service. Although people complain about that. People complain about everything. Amen. It's time you quit it. It's time you stop it. It's time you fill your mouth with that it was made for. The praise of the God that loved you enough to do this in your behalf. Hallelujah. I don't like this. I don't like that. Oh, but I love Jesus. Well, love him enough to quit complaining. Woo! Bring a praise to him and see what happens. Pray for the things that bug you. I saw a t-shirt the other day. I was going to buy it for you. Not all of you, but just some of you. It was a big old green frog on a black background. It said, I wish I was a frog. Then I could eat what bugs me. I wish it was that simple. It's not that simple. But there is something you can do when you're bugged. About all these other things that bother you. Go back to the foot of the cross. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Say, Lord, I'm going to give you my choice praise today. This hasn't been a good day in the physical, natural thing. It's been a real bad day. But Lord, you had a bad day on that cross and you stayed right on it for me. Lord, today I rejoice in you. I will bless the Lord. Sometimes I'll bless the Lord when I can fit it in between my complaining. No, I will bless the Lord. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. Everybody say, standing in my standing. Hallelujah. Who shall be able to stand? I'm glad you asked. Last scripture that we will read. Not maybe, I may quote others, but this is the last one we'll read. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And verse 9 through 11. Listen carefully. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. What is the tribulation period? The wrath of the Lamb. The wrath of God. If you're going to go through it and experience that wrath, then God has appointed you to wrath. My Bible said He has not appointed you to wrath. To me, it settles it. I don't argue that theology. I have the answer. When I have the answer, there's nothing to argue. Amen. Whatever point you have to make after the Word has declared something, it's moot. It doesn't mean anything. Can you say, man, it's a moot point? For you have not been appointed to wrath, but to what? Obtain salvation. How's God going to do it? Amen. I believe He's going to take us out of Him. We'll have a Bible study on that if you want it. Some people are trying to say there ain't no rapture. We're going through the tribulation. Let me tell you something about the tribulation. It's the wrath of the Lamb. Can you say we're not appointed to wrath, but to obtain salvation? Amen. Listen to what else it says. It says, by our Lord Jesus Christ who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, hallelujah, whether we're here when it happens or whether we're in the ground when it happens, amen, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourself together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Comfort one another, edify one another. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, at the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are living shall be caught up with them to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these very words. Can you say amen? Woo! The tribulation is surely coming, but so is Jesus. Woo! Well, how is God going to purify the church? By the washing of water, by the Word. Not by taking us through that, because that is for those who have rejected the sacrifice. Everybody say, stand in my standing. We're going to try to close. Glory to God. It's going to be a glorious day, and it's coming soon. True story. Late 1800s. They're opening up the West. How many ever saw Little House on the Prairie? There was a pilot movie for that better than I thought the series was. When this family is moving out in the first wagon train, all the things they faced in the journey to get to that little hamlet, that little town where they carved themselves a life. They were called pioneers. They had covered wagons. As a matter of fact, the first home I lived in Florida, when I came, was brought here as a child. It was a trailer that my daddy and mama bought from some gypsies that had broke down in Middlesbrough, Kentucky, and didn't have the money to go any further. And they sold my daddy dirt cheap a little trailer, and it was called a covered wagon. It was the brand of the trailer. So I always tell people, when I was a boy and came to Florida, I lived in a covered wagon. And they're not surprised anymore. Anyway, I'm not that old. Turn of the century. Crossing the Great Plains. A distant approaching thunderstorm, lightning had preceded it. A lightning strike had set the sagebrush on fire. Driven by the winds from the storm, 30 mile an hour winds preceding the storm, driving the fire toward them. They had just left the high country. They were in the midst of the plain. They couldn't outrun the fire. There was no place to go, no place to hide. And that fire is sweeping. It would have swept over them, burned up their wagons, their children, their wives, their families. But their guide that was leading them, he says, no, no, don't try to outrun it. See, the first thing is flee the wrath of God. No, run to Jesus. Run, don't run from God. Run to Jesus. Run to Jesus. So he told them, he said, I want some of you men to get torches right now, light them. They went about 50 yards behind all the wagons, and they lit the sagebrush behind them. And the same wind driving that fire to them drove that fire past them. And as the fire was getting closer and closer, they're almost panic-stricken. He said, now back all of the wagons and people onto this parched earth. and they backed them onto where the fire had already burned. And the little girl saw the fire approaching, and she said, "Mama, Mama, 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 the fire's coming, the fire's coming." She said, "It's all right, honey. We're standing where the fire has already burned." Can you say, man? Everybody say, "We're standing where the fire has already burned." Can you say, man? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Isn't it good today to be standing where the fire has already burned? Because you as a Christian are not appointed to wrath, but to obtain salvation. Because your sins have been judged in Him, and you've been forgiven, cleansed, and set free. That's a cause for the church to rise up, stand in her standing, and praise the one that made it all possible. Hallelujah. Well, let's stand up and give Him some praise today. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Brother Taylor obviously will not be here this evening. Joe want to have an off night tonight till he's back on his feet? Show of hands. Off night because nobody's going to be here. Well, you know your schedule and you know your plans, and you most of you knew he would not be here. So would you come tonight if there's a service? It's up to you. You would. You would. Absolutely. Okay. Okay, we got two or more. He'll be here. Jesus will be here. If Jesus is going to be here and you're going to be here, then I'll show up. If Jesus ain't coming because y'all ain't coming, then there's no point in me coming. But if you know what I'm saying, but if the two or more of you is coming and Jesus is coming, he said, "For two or more there am I," I'm going to show up. Amen. I'm going to take care of my buddy. He took care of me for about 6 months now on Sunday night, and he's going to continue to help me. But I'm back in the saddle again. That's not a Christian hymn. That's an old Western song. Can you say amen? But I love the Lord. I love His house. I love His praise. I love His word. Praise God. We'll just do something for the Lord. You game? All right. I got you. We got five at least. All right. Two or more. There am I in the midst of them. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad that I'm standing where the fire has burned out. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that instead of running from the face of Him that sits on the throne, I can't wait to look in His eyes. Because I'm not going to see a flame of fiery indignation. I'm going to see the love that held Him to the tree. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it good to be a Christian? Isn't it wonderful to be saved today? Glory be to God. Let's give Him praise for that coming day.